My name's Jono Bacon, and I used to be a web developer, but now I'm a desktop developer.
My name's Stuart Langridge, and I've always developed for both.
And this is...
Shot of Jack. The logical fallacy of false dilemma, also called false dichotomy or the either-or fallacy, involves a situation in which only two alternatives are considered when in fact there are other options. Do you use Mac or Windows? Is American healthcare a disaster or a victory? It all leaves you not knowing whether to shit or to go blind. One such false dilemma is, which is best, the desktop or the web? It's all too easy to fight for one or the other, to talk about how desktop computing is dead, or to call web apps a fad. Most people use a little of both. Even ChromeOS has some kind of desktop, even if all it does is start the Chromium browser. How can open source, which straddles this divide, make something which partakes of both worlds? Can we rise above entrenchment in one camp or another, above sniping at those on the other side of the chasm, and come together to greatness?
I think there's an absolutely fantastic opportunity to do this. I mean, I think you're right in the sense that people have always had a very binary view of this. You know, you're either a web person or a desktop person, and each has the respective benefits. Like, people have always said that the desktop provides kind of a richer, more interactive experience, but the web is easy to deploy to, you know, it's easy to develop on, you know, there's no installation, all that kind of stuff. But I really do think that we can get the best of both worlds. I think that what we can do is we can provide desktop user interfaces to stuff on the internet. And there's, you know, we're starting to see that with things like Gwibber, the microblogging client. You know, I mean, with Gwibber, it's a desktop user interface, but the content comes from the web. So you get the benefits of it merging into your desktop, and it you know, it loads into your messaging indicator and it pops up bubbles and stuff like that. But it interacts with Twitter and Identica and Facebook and things like that. And things like the Ubuntu One Music Store, you know, is another such example. I mean, the content comes from the internet, but you are, you know, you can play the songs inside Rhythmbox on your desktop.
There's almost a sliding scale of applications, I suppose. So at one far end, you've got a web browser, which by definition only shows you stuff on the web. And then a bit further down from that, you've got things like Prism, which is a single site browser. So it's just a web browser, but it's deliberately dedicated to that one site alone. And then a bit further down from that, you've got something like the Ubuntu One Music Store, which is half a web browser and half integration with the app that it lives in. And then you've got Gwibber, which uses web technologies to build its user interface. It's pulling all of its data from the web, but it's still a desktop application, and like you say, it integrates well with your desktop. In the past, you've always had to make the choice. You looked at the advantages of the web and the advantages of the desktop, and then whichever set were most important to you dictated what kind of application you built. So if what was important to you was that you were cross-platform and that it was available from anywhere and that there wasn't any installation, then you built a web app. If what you wanted was a rich, good, usable user interface, or you wanted it to fit in with the conventions of the platform that you were on, or you wanted it to integrate quite tightly with your other applications or with the hardware, you built a desktop app. But now we're rapidly approaching the stage when you can realistically take the best of both worlds.
I think so. And I think the thing is as well is that certainly in the open source world, up until a couple of years ago, desktop applications were little silos, I think. They didn't really interact very much with each other. You know, so you had the Linux desktop, something such as KDE or GNOME, and then it would run applications, but the application would just basically live in its own little world. Whereas I think what's happening is we're seeing a lot more integration. So using Ubuntu as an example, you know, we're seeing things like pop-up notification bubbles. We're seeing application indicators. We're seeing applications merging themselves into the messaging menu, things like that. So I think that what's happening is the desktop is becoming a more interesting place to provide a user interface than it has been before. And web, you know, there's no standardization across websites, right? I mean, every website has got its own interface, and you see commonalities, but you have much more consistency on the desktop, I think, which is one of the key benefits as well.
Exactly, that's the thing. And what happened was web applications became the trendy, cool thing to build, and so a lot of thought and effort and development went into the idea of making web applications be easy to build. So you got something like Ruby on Rails, where the 37 Signals team sat down and thought, well, how can we make apps like this fun and easy to build? And at that stage, developing a desktop application was, you know, you fired up Eclipse or something. Yep. And it wasn't fun and it wasn't easy and it didn't help you do work, because programming desktop apps was a hard job that experienced programmers did. And the Rails people sat down and said, how can we make this be fun? How can we make it be easy? How can we make it do what we want? And so 3 or 4 years of thought went into building development environments that made it good to build web apps. But now the pendulum's swinging slightly back towards desktop apps. I mean, obviously, you know, you've got Qwikly, which we've talked about before. But the idea of building desktop applications is coming back in. Some of it might be to do with the money, actually, that you built web apps because there was a chance you might get $200 million for selling it to Google. And now there's the idea that you build desktop apps because selling each copy for a tenner is more reasonable. You build a phone application because selling each copy for a pound.
I think a lot of it is that the desktop is just a more exciting place than it used to be. I mean, if you think about all of the operating systems,
certainly
Linux,
desktop.
Windows, and if you look at, I mean, Linux, Windows, Mac OS X, they've all become much richer environments. You know, you've got 3D graphics and various integration elements coming in there, and it's a more interesting platform to develop for, I think. Whereas, you know, that's happening to a degree in the web, but the web has become a bit more static, I think. So I think people are starting to think of the web as a bit of a back end. I mean, a good example of this is App of Jack. We've been developing this application, which is, you know, short of Jack is by definition a website and a web service. And we've said on every single shot that conversation is the whole point of this. So we want to build that into the desktop, and we've started doing that where, for example, if you run App of Jack, which is heavily in development, it's not been released yet, it'll pop up little notification bubbles when new comments have been added. So it means that you can see when something's been added. You can then go back to the website and participate in the discussion. You know, it'll download the shots automatically for you, and you can listen to them inside the client. And it uses, you know, Pulse Audio, so for example. So it means that, you know, you can mix your different audio applications together. But in the next version of App of Jack, when we've released the first cut of this, we want to build a UI for interacting with the show in App of Jack. So it'll be a desktop app. It'd be kind of like, in a way, kind of like an email client in the way that you can interact with, you can send content and read content. And it'll feel like a desktop application, but it'll be fundamentally dealing with data that lives on the web.
Yeah, so,
and
it's, I think so it's that usually kind the web of application as a backend.
Yeah, and that to me, that is a really exciting kind of app. And it's very specific to what we want to do. But I think that's the perfect example of the kind of stuff that people could theoretically do. I think it's much more accessible now. For example, if you want to use Gwibber, you know, the microblogging client, if you want to use Python and tweet from your desktop application, it's 3 lines of code. You know, when we start having access to doing that kind of thing with 3 lines of code, it makes that kind of crossover much more attractive.
It means that it's very easy in something like App of Jack to add a tweet this shot button. Bang, there it is, done.
Which is, in fact, in there.
Exactly. But that's the kind of thing that I think is interesting. Taking the advantages, playing to the strengths of both platforms. You've got people who are partisans for one side or the other. So you've got web people saying, oh, well, you see, the traditional argument is that you can't do 3D graphics on the web, so let's invent WebGL, which lets you do 3D graphics on the web. And that's useful, you know. Well done. Yep. Congratulations and everything. But what we really want is, instead of trying to... That fight does force each platform, the web and the desktop, to push itself to achieve the stuff that the other one can do. And that's great. You know, the competition, rising tide raises all boats and so on. But what I'm interested in is the confluence between the two. How can we take advantage? How can we build applications which either live on the desktop and work really well with the web, or live on the web but work really well with the desktop? It's what I've been trying to do with the music store, as an example.
Yeah.
So it's where the two streams flow together is where I think the beauty is. And it's something that I really think the open source desktop could take massive advantage of.
Absolutely. So the big question is, what does the Shot of Jack community think about this? I mean, do you folks think that it has to be one or the other? Do you think it's got to be the web or it's got to be the desktop? Or do you think that the two can live in a world of perfect harmony? You need to go to shotofjack.org where you heard this shot and leave your comments right there.
Or you can go to shotofjack.org/discuss, a website, to find out how to talk to us on Twitter, which is a website, or Identica, which is a website. And then we'll read your answers in Gwibber, which is a desktop application, and then send you an email from Thunderbird in response.
And we'll see you on the next Shot of Jack.